The ADVFN Podcast with Justin Waite.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 357 on the podcast today. Armadale Capital Director Justin Lewis, that's ACP ticker. I talked to Justin, he's in Melbourne, I'm over here. It was 8 p.m. here, it was 7 a.m. there. The wonders of technology, eh? Plus, brand communication CEO Alan Green will be talking about several stocks. Talking about Barclays, BHP Billiton, DDD Group, and Plant Impact. Plus, I also have today's penny stock with potential as suggested by you. Please click the link here at sharepickers.com if you think you know of a penny stock that has potential. Just fill in the form there and I could feature it in the next few days. And today, this podcast is dedicated to the one, the only, and I feel, you know, proud, achieved, and almost humbled by this five-star rating review I've got from the Dalai Lama. I like what he did there. See? Five-star rating and review coming up from the Dalai Lama. And by all means, if you want a podcast dedicated to yourself there, please click the link here at sharepickers.com. Fill out the iTunes review. It's not easy, actually. They don't make it easy. So I've got to say to you, thank you for doing it. I've got now over 117 five-star ratings and reviews on iTunes. So I do appreciate that. But if you want a podcast dedicated to you, and you get any value from this podcast, as it is free, then please click the link at sharepickers.com. Joining me on the podcast right now, it's 8 p.m. in this country. It's 7 a.m. in Melbourne. It's Justin from Armadale Capital. Thank you for coming on again, Justin.
Thank you very much for having me.
And I suppose that the weather down there is almost the exact opposite, is it, to what we're getting? What's it like there at the moment?
It is indeed. This is the first official day of summer in Australia. Yeah. So it's just beginning to warm up a bit.
And what is the temperature there?
I don't know what it'll be today. Probably in the mid-20s.
Oh, it's hot.
So not really hot. Maybe going up to 30.
Yeah,
we're used to having a hot Christmas down here, which is a bit different.
Yeah, we are at the moment sort of, it's mild but wet, which is not the nicest, you know. It's windy and wet as well, so it's horrible at the moment. But anyway, Justin, like I said, you've been on the podcast before, but for people who haven't heard you on, take us through what Armadale Capital does, outline the projects you've got there.
Sure. So Armadale is listed on AIM, and I guess its principal project is the Makoto Gold Project, which is in the southwest corner of the Democratic Republic of Congo. And really the idea behind Armadale was seeking to invest in near-term production projects. So projects we looked to identify that where we could make relatively insubstantial investments to bring into production in the near term and look at focusing on cash flow, which was really the concept behind the Makoto Gold Project. It has a resource of about 680,000 ounces of gold, and what we're looking at doing is bringing it into production during the course of next year. We've been working on the project now pretty hard for about 18 months, and we're now really at the final stage of getting it into production. The big hurdles being left now are to finalise a funding agreement we have in place with Mining Contracting Services, which will enable us to begin construction hopefully by the end of this year, very early next year.
Okay, so the ounces you announced there, how many ounces again did you say?
It's 678,000 ounces.
And so to put a value on that, what's the kind of value for that?
Well, I guess people put different values on it. An ounce of gold, I haven't looked at the gold price overnight, but it's somewhere at the moment around 1,050, 1,100 ounces once you get it out of the ground. I guess it then comes down to the cost of getting it out of the ground and the cost of processing it, which varies from project to project. One of the great attractions of Umbakoto to us is that it is pretty cheap to get it out of the ground, and our cost of getting it out of the ground all in, so including taxes, royalties and everything else, is about $725. Wow. So there is the sort of 200 and whatever that is, 200 and... 80, 290, even at very low gold prices that we have at the moment, profit for each ounce that we get out of the ground.
Wow. So in my head, I can't do the maths on that, but you've probably done the maths, haven't you?
Well, if you look at us producing, very crudely, if you look at us producing 25,000 ounces a year, and I'm just going to say it's $300 profit, because that's easy in my head at this time of the morning. That's about $7.5 million a year.
Wow, and I'm looking at your company at the moment, a market cap of 3.2 million. So that would be transformative, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I believe so. I mean, I think the real key thing for particularly for these junior mining things is to go from being for a lot of them going from exploration companies, in our case going from a development company into production. So you actually you really can justify the cash flows that you get, and no one can really argue with that once the gold is coming out of the ground and the money is coming in.
Okay, so where are we at the moment? Where are you at? What's the next milestone you need to cross in order to get closer to that production? And when will production start happening?
In the short term, as we announced in September, which I think was around probably the last time I spoke to you, we have been undertaking some further metallurgical tests, and really what that's about is refining the process we use to get the gold out of the ore. That test work is largely complete, and I'm literally hanging on waiting for the results any minute now. What that will allow us to do is finalise the feasibility studies that we've been undertaking, and then that then links into finalising the funding arrangements that we have with AMCS. So we've entered into a sort of heads of agreement with them. We're actively working with them to complete this work, with a view to them to actually sort of finalising the documentation, and then that will bring us $20 million of funding to enable us to construct the project.
Okay, and who are AMCS? I mean, can you reveal a bit more about them, or...?
Sure, they're a company called African Mining Contracting Services. They are based in the Congo. Well, they have operations in the Congo, in Zambia, so throughout southern Africa. And they are owned by a large... they're a joint venture between a large South African mining contracting business and also some Belgian investors. So they're very experienced in operating in the Congo in particular, as well as other African countries, and they work on some of the very big mines out there. And for them, it's an opportunity to get involved with what they believe is a very good project, and work as the mining contractor on that project, both as a shareholder and then also as a contractor going forward.
Okay, well, let's go through some of the questions being submitted from private investors. First one, when do you foresee a call for additional capital from investors, or does the $20 million from AMCS negate any future cash calls?
I guess you can never say never, but the idea is that the $20 million from AMCS will be... sufficient to fund the whole project, and indeed, one of the things they'll want to be comfortable is that there is sufficient funds in there to construct the whole project, which is one of the reasons of doing things like the feasibility study, because that gives an estimate or that finalizes all the estimates of doing these things. But the answer is that should be sufficient capital to get us the whole way through and construct the project.
Next question. What specific construction work has taken place at...
Mokoto. So a variety of construction work's been, going on in the background, and we've been doing quite a lot. We've been doing a lot of work on the roads, an airstrip. We have... there's been a lot of sort of survey work going on for the tailings dam, stuff like that. We're also, been sort of drilling water holes for local villages, which is all part of our work with them. So there's a lot of what I would call sort of low-level capital infrastructure work that's been going on. So there's very much, there is quite a lot, there is activity taking place on the ground, moving the whole thing forward.
Marvellous. Okay, in mid-August, we had a placement, a dilution to raise $700,000 required for further drilling to enhance the resource along with the DFS targeted for Q3. Still, no DFS, still not even started drilling. Why?
Yeah, not quite true. The DFS, as we announced in September, is we're doing this additional metallurgical work, mm-hmm. Which is ongoing, and as we said in September, you know, we're looking to complete all that this year, and that remains very much our target. In terms of the resource, well, there's various sorts of drilling that's been taking place. We've done a lot of technical drilling, so geotechnical drilling, hydrological drilling, and drilling for the sort of water boreholes has been taking place over the last few months. In terms of actual resource drilling, as we announced a few days ago, what we've done is we've undertaken a very big soil sampling process, and what that means is it's effectively a more economic way of doing exploration, and was actually how the project was discovered originally. What they do is they sample on a systematic basis termite mounds. I don't know if you can imagine, but termites are like ants, you know, African ants, and they dig down, right down sort of below the soil and push up earth up on top of the soil. So what that means is that they do their own sort of little bit of mining, and you can go around collecting some of the piles of earth on top, which I guess are like very large molehills or something, and sample that for gold. What we've done is we've done a fairly big exercise in doing that to refine our drill targets. And further than that, we've also entered into this agreement with Alpha Drilling, which is enables us effectively to have access to a drill rig from going forward and through the wet season. It works through the wet season, so it does enable us to do more resource drilling going forward.
Yeah, Joe, I like that. You've got the termites working for you, and they're not getting paid, which is quite nice, isn't it?
It's very neat. So it's often difficult to describe, but people sort of seen them in David Attenborough or something
that. They're big, aren't they? Yeah.
They dig down and they make these huge mounds, which sometimes can be like sort of 10 metres high.
Yeah.
And then you imagine you literally take, so that's someone going and getting earth from deep, because they deep down, they go just as far down as they go up, as it were, above the surface. And then you can literally go and take a shovel full of that soil and then go and test it. So, and if you do that on a grid pattern, because there are loads of these mounds all over the place, it's a very effective way of working out where there's gold and where there's not. And then you can go and use that as a basis of drilling on top of it.
Wow, do you know, I'm just looking at some images here of termite hills, and they are, there's people, they're towering over people, and people climbing
up
them,
yeah. So and what that's enabled us to do, it's actually quite interesting, is that we've actually found some completely new areas for exploration. So they hopefully will give us an opportunity to look at completely new areas in terms of drilling away from the existing resource we have at the moment. Mm-hmm. In addition to that, we've also talked about we have some very high-grade intercepts around a hole called Hole 64, which is in the middle of the current Mbokoto resource, and we want to sort of investigate around there because the geologists think there is an opportunity, or they think there is very interesting geological structures that occur around those high-grade intercepts.
Okay. Next question. In the current macro environment, the size of the results means nothing unless funding is secured. The talks surrounding the funding are ongoing. How confident are you of securing the funding, and when do you anticipate this to be finalised? How confident are you, Justin?
Well, it's a bit like how long's a piece of string. I mean, I remain very confident, but I guess I've been doing this game long enough to know nothing's certain until the money's in your bank account, effectively. I wouldn't be sitting here doing this now unless we were confident of happening. I do agree that funding is critical. And particularly in this market and the market we're in, it's very hard to come by. So I think it's very good that we've got the agreement to do the funding. We now need to get it all in place.
Yeah.
These things are frustratingly slow, as much for certainly for me, and I understand for shareholders as well. But all I can say is we are making progress. But we, you know, the counterparty remains very enthusiastic and working with us towards getting it finalised. And you know, we're targeting, as we've said publicly, on getting it done this year.
Okay, so hopefully the funding will be in place. You're saying hopefully before the end of 2015. Is that right?
Exactly. Yes.
Cool. All right. Last question here. How is cash burn, and what are the main expenditures in the last 3 months?
The main expenditures, I guess, going are. What are the main? I'm just trying to think. The main expenses, I guess, are the sort of the whole. We have the sort of costs of people we employ within the Congo. So we have a sort of reasonable team of people who operate there, which we inherited when we bought the project, both in Lubumbashi, which is the main sort of regional sector, as well as actually out at the site. Mm-hmm. Our main costs over the last few months have been. Doing some of the work that we've talked about, so some of the sort of metallurgical work, ongoing consultancy work, so really things that have focused on finalising the feasibility study and the funding. So that's very much where our efforts are going. All that being said, you know, we remain very focused on preserving our cash to ensure that, you know, we sort of get through to being funded.
Yeah, yeah. And so, how much cash do you have at the moment?
I don't know. I don't actually know. That's sort of something I've got publicly available at the moment.
All right. But you're confident that it will get you through, you know, to the end of this year, to funding anyway?
Well, that's what we're... Yes, that's what we're working towards.
Marvellous. All right, well, Justin, that's all the questions. Is there anything else you want to talk about? Or in fact, why not sum it up? Give us three reasons. I'm not a shareholder in your company, but you know, give me the big sell. Just give me three reasons why I should invest in you.
Well, I think the sell remains is that you know what we have is you know, I think Armadale represents a very good value opportunity to get in what I, you know, continue to believe is a very exciting project with a lot of upside, assuming we can put in place the funding and stuff like that. And if you look at the progress we've made over the last 12, 18 months, I think it is really quite significant, given that we started with a project that didn't even have a mining license. You know, we've put in place a mining license. We've put in place all these projects and we've made good progress. The final hurdle is getting funding. When we get that funding, I think there is very significant upside in the whole thing. The project has an NPV at sort of $1,100 an ounce of around $35 million US dollars. So there's considerable upside to the value of Armadale to the value of the project once it's up and running. And it is really fairly near term. That we're looking at doing it, and it's very near-term production. So, so to me, you know, what's the big opportunity? The opportunity is there is big upside, assuming we can get all these things done in place. Not without, you know, would certainly not say not without risk. We're a junior resources company operating in Africa, but I think we've demonstrated that we can make good progress, and I hope to continue to make good progress going forward.
Yeah, well, hopefully, you know, by this time next year, you'll be almost a different company, won't you? You know, if everything goes to plan.
That would be good. Yeah, we've got to keep moving forward, and if everything goes to plan, yeah, we'll be going. We'll be building a mine.
Lovely.
Well, this time next year, even we will have built one.
Yeah, yeah, cool. Well, Justin, lovely to speak to you, and I know it's still early there, but you cope well with the early morning there. And
thanks for staying up so late to talk to me.
That's all right, that's no problem. I mean, it's not late, but I get up early in the morning as well. But listen, come back on again. Don't forget, you know, you can contact me anytime you want to come back on the podcast. Please do, because I know there's quite a few shareholders that are always interested in updates from you.
All right, many thanks. Look forward to speaking to you again.
Okay, it's time for today's penny stock with potential, as suggested by Ian. Thank you for getting involved, Ian. I really do appreciate this. It keeps the feature alive. By all means, click the link here at sharepickers.com. If you want to suggest a stock that you think has potential, by all means, please, you know, read this on sharepickers.com, but do your own research on any stock suggested. It's not a tip or recommendation. Never buy on a tip. Always do your own research. Name and ticker symbol is 7Digital. 7DIG is a ticker. Now, what does the company do? Provides streaming music technology and licensing to business and brands looking to sell their music to their own customers, e.g. radio stations, phone operators, supermarkets, and even Will.i.am. Oh, in brackets, for a smart watch product. Company also produces radio content, including programs for BBC, more on the company, and I'll put the link here at sharepickers.com if you want to. It's about.7digital.com. What do you say? This is a short, medium, or long-term investment. Medium will hopefully see large re-rating in 1 to 3 years. How many shares does the company have in issue? 108 million. What's the current price of market cap? It's 8.4 pence. Current market cap is around about 9 million. Three reasons why you think this is a company has potential. Number one, huge market for brands to sell music services to the 92% of people who don't currently listen to digital music. 7Dig enables that market. Number two, company expects to become profitable in 2016. Announced a new deal with mobile operator in Brazil last week, with more deals expected to follow. And number three, sentiment is low after recent director's sale. Shares very cheap at an all-time low. Good research area, and I like that a lot. Thanks very much for doing that. Like I said, please do your own research on the stock. And by all means, suggest one. Go to sharepickers.com.
Joining me on the podcast right now is Alan Green, CEO of Brand Communications. You all right, Al?
Yeah, Justin Gray, how you doing?
Good, thanks. It's been a tough old couple of weeks in the market. I mean, quite a few traders come on the podcast, and they've all been saying the same. And are you finding that as well?
It's been bloody, actually. It really has. Yeah, I sort of jumped into Barclays thinking that new CEO was going to do great things, and of course, I'm sure he will. But in between time, of course, we've had the banking stress tests, and that coupled with the general malaise in the markets and uncertainty over whether the Fed would raise the interest rate and what Mario is going to do tomorrow with QE and all the rest of it, it's weighed heavily on the banks. And I sold out. I already had Barclays, but I topped up, and then I sold the whole lot out at a loss, and was on the way up to London yesterday morning, saw the results of the stress test, and just jumped back into Barclays when it jumped up to 228. So I'm still ahead, so that's, you know, can't complain. And but I've rejigged my portfolio as well. I'm taking advantage of the drop in bulletin, and picked up some of that sort of about £7.70 something.
That is and, a good price. I bought some for my brother. That was £8.80. I'm just, obviously, it's about a 20-year hold, that one. But I don't know. They're talking about, obviously, there's this problem down there in Brazil with the reservoir, the dam, and there's the figure banded around what, $5 billion? Is it dollars?
I think it is about $5 billion. Yeah, that's the general figure, and that's likely to rise, of course, as we saw with BP Gulf of Mexico. You know, the estimates go up all the time, and you can't predict the full ramifications. There's a lot of the waters down there are toxic as well, and there are various issues there. But a note this morning from Barclays brokers said that a team had been down there, and they've spoken with Billiton and looked at the site, and they believe that Billiton's got things well under control, and it's looking fairly stable, so that's encouraging. I mean, clearly, you know, all of this talk about is it good to buy Billiton cannot detract from the fact it's been a dreadful human tragedy down there with loss of life. But for the company, is still in good shape and able to deal with things going forward. I also dipped into Shell as well. I know we've spoken at Royal Dutch Shell beforehand, the RDSB shares, and picked up those at 16 quid. So of course, a really, really nice dividend payout, about just under 6% divvy payout, I think, on that. Maybe a bit higher, in fact. Just under 7%. So
And you know, those two there, I mean, the only big stocks I own, and I'm quite underwater in BHP Billiton now because of that. You know, the portfolios on that one. But I'm just thinking, you know what? And there is this talk about the cutting the dividend. But they're even, you know, they're more loyal to the dividend than Royal Dutch Shell. They've been 100 years they haven't cut their dividend for. So I'm thinking, you know, they may do it here because they're in the eye of the storm here. You've got iron ore prices at an all-time low. And you've got, like I said, this tragedy down there, which is awful. But in a financial cost as well, it will cost them big time. So it's uncertain as to whether the dividend will be paid. But, you know, it's one of those times when there's uncertainty. It's probably good to jump in, I think, and take advantage of that uncertainty, you know.
That's the mantra of all the great investors, isn't it? You know, where when others are greedy, be fearful. When others are fearful, be greedy. Now, that's Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett's, and you know, he got that right most of the time over the years. And indeed, I think most of my big trades over the past few years have been on the basis of, I suppose, opportunism when events occur. Or for instance, with Thomas Cook a few years ago, when the share price that fell to 9p at one stage, and of course that's now that company's well on the road to recovery despite their mishandling of the tragedy in Corfu. But so that's very much been my approach, opportunism, I guess, and that coupled with of course dipping into smaller caps as well, you know, which is the life and soul of the podcast.
Exactly. All right. So, Al, what do you want to specifically talk about today? Which company?
Well, a couple of things. First of all, we spoke about Plant Impact a couple of weeks ago. Delighted to see that there was a trading statement about two or three days after we spoke, and the share price has popped up. I think it was 58p when we spoke, and it's now just under 62p, so that's good news. But talking today about a company that we discussed in October, a company called DDD Group. The epicode is DDD. Mm-hmm. You also interviewed Chris Udall, the CEO then as well, who explained the background of the company. And there's a lot of really interesting things going on here, in my opinion, I think still aren't reflected in the share price. The group's got some history. It supplied 3D technology to TV manufacturers about 4 or 5 years ago. And when it was realized with the advent of tablets that 3D perhaps wasn't all it was cracked up to be, the share price at that stage, I think, was about 30p, and it's come all the way down to 3p to 1.5p, which is more or less where it is now. And the company's got a market cap of just over 3 million at this level, which is nothing at all. Several things going on. I'm going to talk first of all about the current developments. There was an announcement today, and this is Wednesday, of course, the 2nd December. Announcement today that DDD were presenting at the LD Micro Investor Conference in Los Angeles. It's a 3-day event, and it finishes tomorrow. They've developed the TriDef SmileCam technology, which described very simply, if you are broadcasting via Skype or a telephone call or through TV via your laptop, you can download the TriDef SmileCam and change the background. So you could be on a beach in the Caribbean, or you could be in the city. It gives you your own green screen without having to invest in studio technology and so forth. This is also a big hit with gamers. XSplit Media Labs have included it in all their gaming, and there are many other developments in that area. So the technology is sold as part of the package. And today they've launched UPix, which is a mobile version of the same technology for use in smartphones. So if you've got a photograph of yourself by Big Ben and you want to add in something crazy in the background, like a red sky or something, you can do that. Take the photograph, change it on your mobile app, and hey presto, you've got a high resolution picture that you can then send to your friends. So that's the technology that they're engaged in. Of course, it's a paper download, so it's a great model when you're talking about a global company like this. So really, with where the company's at, the market cap doesn't really, in my opinion, justify the technology that's on the table. The X factor behind all this goes back to the days of 3D TV, where they had an arrangement with LG Electronics. LG, of course, a huge electronics company, well known for their TVs and other devices. DDD Group announced earlier this year that they'd launched a lawsuit against LG Electronics for patent infringement, and there is a considerable amount of money they believe that's owed to them if the patent infringement can be proven. What's interesting about this is that they've hired a company called Quinn Emanuel, who are patent experts and lawyers, and they have a track record which is pretty impressive in that they've won 90%, over 90% of the cases they've taken on. So clearly, from Quinn Emanuel's reputational standpoint, they wouldn't take on a case like this unless they were pretty sure they were going to win it. So at some point, and clearly we don't know when, we can expect a settlement, I believe, from LG Electronics. And whatever that settlement's going to be, it's going to reflect probably the former valuation of the company at some point. So clearly that's another chunk of value that's going to come into the company at some stage. That's already there. It just needs to crystallize through the legal team's actions. So all in all, DDD is a really exciting little company, which as I say, we believe still very undervalued.
Yeah, well, even if you think, and I'm not saying it is, even if you think the products there are not any good or won't cut the mustard, there's that very interesting deal, like a legal problem here that we've got there. And you know, I remember Chris Cameron saying that, I think I got the figure out of him, but 25 million or something it's worth, isn't it? I think, was that the figure bandied around, I think?
Yeah, that's the sort of figure they're looking at. Clearly, it could be more, it could be less. But either way, you could expect it to be a transformational sum of money for the company, given it's got a market cap at the current levels. And a suite of products that sales of which are growing rapidly, and further developments are afoot. So it's a great opportunity, I think, to get at this level. You know, it's had little blips, and clearly we're waiting to hear sort of how well or how long this the lawsuit is going to take to conclude. But one would imagine if Quinn Emanuel are involved, the sensible thing for LNG to do might be to settle early to avoid further punitive costs further down the road.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the chart as well. The chart seems to be on a historic sort of support line there. You know, it's bounced off this level quite a few times.
Yep.
As a 1.6 is. So it's worth putting on your radar there to have a look at it. Marvellous, Alice, DDD Group. Thanks, fella.
Thanks, Joss.
That's it for the podcast. Apart from say, this podcast, episode 357, is dedicated to the one, the only, the Dalai Aimer. Nice. Who gave me this cracking review on iTunes, a 5-star rating review. And the Dalai Aimer says, excellent knowledge being shared. See, typical of Dalai Lama, all about sharing knowledge. And he says, deep respect to the team that create this show. Team? Listen, the team, you're listening to the team. This is the team, right here. Apart from the weekend where Pete and Steve come on, and Steve just sits there, pretty much. That's it. But Pete asked a couple of questions, but Steve didn't know what's going on. A variety of private investors are showcased every week, sharing their knowledge, experiences, and ideas, which are given freely with a warm heart. Long may this continue and help develop the private investor community. CEO and director interviews give access to that would be otherwise not provided to private investors. Keep inspiring investors. Blessings, the Dalai Aimer. Thank you very much, Dalai Aimer. I like that a lot. And by all means, if you want a podcast dedicated to you, please click the link at sharepickers.com and write a review there. And I'll dedicate one to you. I hope it's as nice as the Dalai Aimer. There's only a couple left to do, but I'm over 117 five-star reviews. So mucho appreciado.
The ADBFN podcast with Justin Waite.